Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, as you may have heard on Morning Ireland a little earlier, over 200 former European ambassadors and officials have written to Ursula von der Leyen, urging the EU to take a tougher stance on Israel's actions in Gaza. The letter criticises the bloc for failing to take a unified position on the conflict and urges it to pressure Israel to end the war. Richard Wright, former EU ambassador to Moscow and former director of UNRWA's office in New York, is one of the signatories to that letter, and Richard joins us on the line now. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning.
You're on the steering group, I understand, behind the letter. So what prompted you to write it? Because it comes just a couple of weeks, 4 weeks, I understand, on from a previous letter, which had fewer signatories, but was of a similar tone.
No, exactly. And there's seven of us in the steering group, and two of us are from Ireland, which is a good thing. I think the first letter, as you said, set out a list of actions we would like to see the European Union take. Nothing has happened since then, absolutely nothing. And I think the concerns have just grown exponentially. And I think we set out in our latest letter exactly what has happened in these last 4 weeks. No ceasefire, no release of hostages, Israeli plans going ahead to empty Gaza, a city and its environs, about 1 million Palestinians, increase in number of people killed and injured, no improvements really in the supply of international aid, desperately needed international aid and assistance. We've seen in the last few days targeted attacks on journalists, 11 journalists killed. In your earlier show, you interviewed the Al Jazeera head, who pointed out that one of the people killed was due to be married in 2 days' time. At the same time, we've had another very shocking development with the announcement by Israel that it's going to build 3,400 housing units in an area that would basically cut off the West Bank from East Jerusalem, which has to be the capital of a future Palestinian state. And just one parenthesis here, when Israel talks about housing units, everybody thinks, oh, that's houses or apartments. It's not. A unit could be 10, 12, 15 apartments. So you're talking about a massive development, which will be inimical to the implementation of the two-state mm-hmm. solution, which everyone backs.
And can I ask you, Richard, what is it that you want the EU to do?
Well, I think we set this out in our earlier letter, but just for example, one of the first things to do is to suspend all arms and dual use exports. We want a ban on trade with Israel's illegal settlements in the West Bank. We want to suspend preferential trading arrangements. We want to see action taken on Israel's access to the Horizon research program. We want targeted sanctions on Israeli ministers and government officials who are military commanders who are perpetrating the current Israeli policies and other measures. Now, and also a very crucial thing, it would be very good if the European Union as a whole collectively agreed to recognise Palestinian statehood.
Mm-hmm. You see Germany this morning, Friedrich Merz, yeah, saying he will not do that at the UN General Assembly.
Yeah. No, that's right. And I think we all understand why this is a difficult issue for Germany, given the historical background. But a lot of countries have come forward, Ireland, and Norway, Spain, last year. And we have, in the upcoming General Assembly in the UN, France has taken the lead, Britain's followed, Canada's followed. So there is, an incontrovertible movement towards this. Italy has not done this, and I think would be a very important acquisition to the group. But, I mean, the number will probably reach about 150, over 150 states by the General Assembly in about a month's time, which is extremely significant. And frankly, this should be agreed. It's long overdue, and it's a key element of any future agreement.
You clearly, and your colleagues who have put this letter together and signed it, are frustrated with the inability of the EU to come together on this. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I think that is fair. And Claire, I just want to say one thing here, that it's not easy for us You know, this letter is composed of two groups, actually. It's 110 EU former ambassadors and senior officials and 99 member state ambassadors. But speaking from the EU side, we all dedicated our professional lives to the European Union. We implement its values, its principles, and which we believe earnestly was for the interests of the peoples and indeed for the world. And it's not easy for us to come together and do this. But we, and I think it's unprecedented. The Simon Harris earlier said this was an unprecedented move, and I think it is. Mm-hmm. It is born of intense frustration, and also the need to, you know, if we're going to be serious about what the Union is, European Union is, what it stands for, what its principles are, and indeed a beacon of defence of human rights and international humanitarian law for the rest of the world, the global south, we have to act. We have to act.
Can you tell us more about why it hasn't been easy to do this?
Well, I think fundamentally, well, for us as well, because I think, you know, we don't want to petition our own authorities, really. You know, it's not a comfortable thing to do. But the fact that we are doing it, and, you know, I just emphasise that we've got something like 27 very senior former director generals, two secretary generals. This is a very prestigious group of people. I'm not talking about myself here, but I mean the people who've joined in. It just shows that, you know, this is an emblematic issue for the European Union. We have to be seen to act, and the European Union is what so many countries turn towards Europe. What is Europe doing? You know, Europe represents the values, the principles that we want to run our societies about. But we're not, you know, the European Union is not acting. And that's why I think all of us feel very strongly that action is necessary.
And you've explained the problems, the difficulties for Germany and for Italy too. I mean, do you expect that they will now be able to come on board? Because you could look at their positions and say, well, that's intractable. That's very difficult for them to move. I mean, do you expect that this letter will have an impact?
We hope so. And we're very heartened by the fact that a large number of former diplomats from Germany and Italy and France have joined us in this effort. I think, you know, this is a question of persuasion. Even if, you know, that Italy, Germany is not ready to recognise a Palestinian statehood, they can certainly take a lot of positive measures, hopefully helping the European Union to reach consensus or a qualified majority where appropriate. But, you know, so there are things that can be done. And in our second letter, the one that's just come out, we set out a number of actions that could be taken by member states, you know, in addition to those that we would like to see taken at the European level. So there's a lot that can be done, even by states who are, say, more reticent or more cautious about acting.
Richard, thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. That's Richard Wright, who's former EU ambassador to Moscow and former director of the UNRWA office in New York.